Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Horde, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth Podcast. There's going to be a heartache tonight. A heartache tonight, I know. Edition. As we look back at Sunday's Burrow versus Baker shootout at Paul Brown Stadium, ultimately won by the Cleveland Browns 37-34. Coming up, you'll hear radio replays, post-game comments from players and coaches, and in-depth analysis from my broadcast partner, Dave Lapham. And this week's Fun Facts segment is with wide receiver Mike Thomas. If you're still grumpy from Sunday's final score, I promise you, my conversation with Mike Thomas will put a smile on your face. The Bengals Booth Podcast is presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Refresh the game. And here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or Podbean. It's the greatest thing since the Bengals Media Relations staff. Before the pandemic, I was pretty self-sufficient when it came to doing my job. The Bengals locker room was open several days a week, so I would get to know the players, set up my interviews, and gather the material I need for broadcasting the games and hosting our weekly radio shows. Well, that's not possible this year. Reporters are not allowed inside of NFL locker rooms because of COVID-19, so everybody that covers the Bengals has been relying on the team's media relations staff of Emily Parker, PJ Combs, Pete Schramm, and Laura Topp, and they have been doing an amazing job of helping us as we try to inform you. So, Emily, PJ, Pete, and Laura, thanks a million from everybody on the Bengals beat. Your hard work is truly appreciated. Now, let's get to Sunday's game. It certainly started well for the Bengals as they opened the game with a 70-yard drive that set up first and goal at the 2-yard line.
Burrow in the shotgun, Bernard to his left. Burrow fakes a handoff, throws into the end zone. It's batted in the air and intercepted in the end zone.
That's the second time this year that Burrow has been intercepted in the end zone. It happened from the 1-yard line against Jacksonville when Miles Jack ripped the ball away from Drew Sample. But two plays after the Browns' interception, Baker Mayfield returned the favor.
Now he takes the snap, drops back 5 steps. He's going to throw it downfield for Odell Beckham Jr.
Nice.
It's intercepted by Darius Phillips, running it back to the 30, the 25, and he'll be dragged down at the 24-yard line. So Baker Mayfield, who was picked off twice in the regular season finale last year by Darius Phillips, is picked off on his first throw today by the Bengals cornerback.
And that led to the game's first score.
Second and goal inside the one. Burrow is under center again. Takes the snap, runs another quarterback sneak.
You're in,
and Joe Burrow should be in. Here come the officials to check it out, and there's the touchdown signal.
The Bengals had an early lead, but the Browns have Myles Garrett.
Burrow back to pass.
Uh-oh.
Being chased by Myles Garrett, who pokes the ball away. Cleveland and Cincinnati scrambling after the loose ball. It goes out of bounds. Myles Garrett with a strip sack, and the Browns recovered before it went out of bounds, apparently.
One of two sacks for Myles Garrett, who is up to 9 for the season. The forced fumble was his 4th. It led to a field goal that made it 7-3. The Bengals answered with a Randy Bullock field goal 4 minutes into the second quarter that made it 10-3. At that point, Burrow had 152 passing yards, and Baker Mayfield had 0. He was 0 for 5 with an interception. But the Browns quarterback would not throw another incomplete pass until there were 16 seconds left in the game.
Cincinnati creeping up on the defensive line. Mayfield with time. His pass caught for a touchdown by Bryant.
That 3-yard grab by rookie tight end Harrison Bryant tied the game at 10 with 3:42 left in the half. And Burrow went to work, orchestrating a 75-yard drive that not only ended with a touchdown, but chewed up the clock.
Second and goal from the 11, 22 seconds left. The Bengals are out of timeouts. Burrow back to pass. Good pocket. Throws into the end zone.
Yeah.
It's intended for Tyler
Boyd. Yeah, touchdown.
Touchdown! Yeah. Bengals, as Tyler Boyd caught it right on the white stripe. The ball passed the white stripe. Then he was driven back out onto the playing field, but the touchdown signal was given with 15 seconds left in the half.
17-10 Bengals as Burrow threw for 234 yards in the first half. He Here's A.J. Green.
Being out there with him and then watching his demeanor in the huddle, that he never flinches. He never had any doubt in his mind that we wasn't going out down there and score. And he's special, man. That guy going to be a great one. So I'm glad we got him here.
A.J., by the way, had another solid game, finishing with 7 catches for 82 yards. The second half became a Burrow versus Baker shootout. There were no punts and no turnovers. Just a bunch of points. After Mayfield threw his second touchdown pass to Harrison Bryant to tie the score at 17, the Bengals drove to the Cleveland 4 before settling for a Randy Bullock field goal. It gave Cincinnati a 20-17 lead going to the fourth quarter, but getting 3 instead of 7 proved costly because the Bengals could not stop Baker Mayfield.
Second and 7, Mayfield drops back to throw into the end zone. It is caught for the Cleveland Browns touchdown. David Njoku with the catch, and the Browns have taken the lead in the first 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. Good throw. The coverage by Von Bell was good, but it was a perfect throw by Baker Mayfield, and former first-round draft pick David Njoku hauled it in.
After starting the game 0-for-5, Baker Mayfield set a Browns record by completing 21 consecutive passes. The NFL record is 25. Here's Zach Taylor.
He was hot, you know, and you got to give credit to him. And we got to make some plays. There was a bunch of snaps of man coverage there where they made the plays and we did not.
And yet, Joe Burrow kept bringing the Bengals back.
Second and 10 at the Cleveland 16-yard line. Empty backfield for Joe Burrow. He catches the shotgun snap. Burrow bouncing in the pocket. His throw caught at the 10-yard line.
T. Higgins
breaks it down with the 5.
Yeah.
And runs it straight into the end zone. Touchdown, Bengals. It's a TD. And the Bengals have the lead in the fourth quarter with 8:45 to go.
That lead lasted for roughly 4 minutes.
Mayfield swings it out to the left, caught by Kareem Hunt, and he will cruise into the end zone with nobody within 5 yards. The Browns have the lead again with 4 minutes and 53 seconds left.
Touchdown pass number 4 for Mayfield. The Browns up by 4 in the fourth quarter. Once again, Burrow calmly marched the Bengals down the field like a 10-year veteran. 12 yards to T. Higgins, 15 to Tyler Boyd, 25 to Mike Thomas, and a 12-yard quarterback draw for a first down on 3rd and 11. After 9 plays, the Bengals faced a critical decision with time winding down.
1:09 left in regulation. The Bengals trail by 4 points. They have it 4th and inches near the Cleveland Browns' 2-yard line. Burrow is under center. The running back is Perine. Burrow with a long count stomps the right foot. T. Higgins goes in motion. It's actually Giovanni Bernard.
Got him.
Burrow throws for Bernard.
Got him.
He catches
yeah!
it. Sticks the ball.
Woo!
Touchdown! Bengals, a gutsy call. And the Bengals capitalize as they throw it on 4th and inches. And Burrow throws a touchdown pass to Giovanni Bernard.
I'll tell you what, Joe Burrow, you talk about Joe Cool.
Here's Giovanni Bernard on the go-ahead score.
It was just a good call, and I think one of the things that I appreciate is Coach Taylor giving me that opportunity to be able to, you know, to do the play, you know, and to have called it. You know, it's just one of those situations and a play that, you know, you work on for a while and, you know, you bring it out when you need it most, and it worked.
Burrow finished with a career-high 406 passing yards with 3 touchdown throws and 1 touchdown run. Most impressively, he directed 2 long drives in the fourth quarter that turned deficits into leads.
You know, it was exciting, but, you know, I expect myself to do that every week. Ball in my hand at the end of the game, I'm comfortable and confident that I'm going to go down and make the play to win. Unfortunately, Baker was playing out of his mind and led that 2-minute drive after us.
The Bengals left 66 seconds on the clock after their go-ahead touchdown, and that was more than enough time for Mayfield.
He's going to throw it for the end zone, and Donovan Peoples-Jones, he comes down with a ball for a touchdown.
Are you kidding me?
With 11 seconds to go.
Are you kidding me? Unbelievable.
Touchdown pass number 5, a new career high for Baker Mayfield, topping his previous mark of 4, also against Cincinnati. The Bengals returned the subsequent kickoff to the 42, giving Burrow a chance for a last play miracle.
The Browns have four defenders about 40 yards downfield. 4 seconds on the clock. The Bengals at their own 42. No pass rush at all from the Cleveland Browns. So Burrow waits for the receivers to get down there. Here comes the high Hail Mary down toward the goal line.
Oh!
Into the end zone and incomplete.
Man.
The final score, Cleveland 37, Cincinnati 34. Another heartbreaker in a 7-week stretch filled with them. What did Zach Taylor say to his team?
Stick together. It's obviously an emotional locker room and for the right reasons. And it is guys that in that moment after the locker room, that's tough to find those words because you felt in control, you felt like you're going to win, and then you don't. And that's happened to us a couple times. And this is a team that believes that we can put together a winning streak, a one-game winning, two-game, three-game, four-game, five-game. Like, we believe in it. And we just haven't done it. We haven't proven it to the outside world. But we're going to stick together. I can promise you that. It's a group of men I'm proud to coach. And we're going to stick together. We're going to get through this. And there's much better days ahead.
The Bengals are 1-5-1, including two losses by 3 points, 1-4, another by 5, and a tie where they gave up a 7-point lead with 21 seconds left in regulation. Excruciating. Here are Joe Burrow and Giovanni Bernard.
We got a bunch of great guys in this locker room and great coaching staff. You know, Zach's going to get us to where we want to go. You know, I know everyone is down in the dumps right now. The fan base is frustrated just as we are. We're 1-5, but you know, we got a great guy at the helm in Zach who called a great game today. He really did. And, you know, he's going to keep us together. He's the leader of our team, the leader of our own organization, and he's going to keep us together.
We freaking want to win. Like, we just want to win. That's it. Obviously, we've come up short. We know it. It sucks. We hate the feeling. But all we can do is just continue to keep working.
Unfortunately, the same cannot be said of Carlos Dunlap. After another Instagram post on Saturday complaining about his role on defense, Dunlap appeared to argue with coaches on the sideline after the game and then chose Twitter to air his grievances moments later with a snarky post about putting his house up for sale. That put Boyd and Bernard in the uncomfortable position of having to answer numerous questions about their longtime teammates' behavior after a difficult loss.
We're a team, and we hold each other accountable no matter what coach it is, no matter what fan it is, we all in it together as players. So for him to do that on the sideline, I don't agree with it, but I mean, I ain't trying to get into it. So I'm going to just continue to practice and try to get wins.
It's tough to talk about. You know, it's a situation that he's going to have to handle, but you know, I've always been the type of person, and you know, a lot of the guys in the locker room have been this way, is, you know, we can only worry about, you know, the guys that want to be here, the guys that want to take care of business and do it the right way. We know what Coach Taylor, you know, has preached since day one is protecting the team. And, you know, it's just one of those things that we got to continue to do that. We can't worry about the guys that, you know, that don't follow that, you know, that idea. But, you know, I've always been a firm believer in, you know, everything that Coach Taylor has really been doing around this this organization. You know, it breaks my heart, man, to just to know that, you know, he's had to deal with a lot of different things. A lot of people don't see, you know, these things that have happened, but he not only deals with, you know, the offense and, you know, being the head coach, but there's so much other crap that he has to deal with. And, you know, it's one of those things that, I just want to win for him. You know, it's just a difficult situation. And it's obviously frustrating. We all know it's frustrating, but we know the type of team that we have. And we just have to worry about the guys that that are here day in and day out, putting in the work. We can't focus on things that we don't have control over. We just go in and just do our jobs, period.
Up next, a home game against the Tennessee Titans, who are 5-1 after a 3-point loss to the 6-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. The Bengals Booth Podcast is presented by Bud Light Seltzer. It's light and refreshing with a hint of fruit flavor. Now, let's get some post-game analysis from my broadcast partner, Dave Lapham. Lap, Joe Burrow summed it up pretty well at the end of a 406-yard passing performance. Quote, football is not a game of numbers. It is a game of letters, W and L. Well done, rookie QB.
Amen, brother.
Well, he's got one W, five L's, and one T for a tie. This team has had the lead in the fourth quarter five times in seven games and has one win.
One win, three losses, and a tie. It's almost incredible. The last 2 weeks, for them to lose games the way they did, to have a 21-point lead, give it all back and lose, to have a fourth-quarter lead, take it the lead back, lose the lead, take it back again, lose the game, is just, I mean, it's gut-wrenching. It's a gut punch. It's like they're, you know, manufacturing ways to lose football games, and losing teams figure out ways to lose football games, and winning teams figure out ways to win football games. And Cleveland's now 5-2, and the Bengals are 1-5-1.
Baker Mayfield, first pass of the game was intercepted, 0-for-5 in the first quarter, and then he completed 21 in a row before a spike and then threw the game-winning touchdown pass. Five touchdown passes in the game, 5-1 in six starts against the Bengals. They have no answers for the guy.
It's amazing. 17 touchdowns, 7 interceptions now in his career against the Bengals. If he played against the Bengals every week, he'd be a consensus all-pro and a unanimous Hall of Fame electoral vote. I mean, it's ludicrous. And the thing is, when he got hot, I'm telling you, he put the ball in spots that they were as tight a window. When he gets going, he throws the ball as well as anybody. And if you need to have your career resurrected and media and fans to get off your back like Philip Rivers and Baker Mayfield did, come to Cincinnati. Schedule the Bengals. I mean, all is forgiven, all is healed, because you have almost perfect quarterback rating games when you play against this football team. To think where they were as a pass defense a month into the season and to think where they are now, it's frightening. Receivers aren't just open. They're open by country miles. I mean, they're not supposed to be as open as they're open in the National Football League. It's just not supposed to happen. And it's happening too many times in football games. It's happening with too much regularity. It's mind-boggling. It really is. Once players get their confidence, you know, Baker Mayfield thinks, I can make any throw, and his receivers think, I can make any catch. I mean, it gets to be a contagious thing. And when they had to make plays, at crucial moments, they made plays. And a lot of times the Bengals did too, but they made mistakes again, you know, at pivotal, crucial times too. You know, it kills me that people are saying, Zach, what are the four plays that could have been the four plays? There's more than four plays in every game. Zach didn't mean he couldn't think of a play. He couldn't put his finger on which one of multiple plays in every single game that they've lost when they've gone into the fourth quarter with a lead. It's not just one play every game. It's a myriad of plays every game that if one of them went the other way, it's a different outcome. That's what people are talking about when you're losing all these football games by one score or less. Now they're, 1-12-1 in games decided by 8 points or less? Unbelievable.
Here's what I find staggering. Odell Beckham Jr. left the game early with a knee injury. It's feared to be serious. I hope that's not the case for his sake. Jarvis Landry is playing with a broken rib. He played okay, but he's not, you know, the Pro Bowl-type wide receiver he would normally be. Austin Hooper, their best receiving tight end, had an emergency appendectomy on Friday. He wasn't available. Rashad Higgins, Harrison Bryant, rookie tight end, Donovan Peoples-Jones, who normally wouldn't even get on the field, had the game-winning touchdown catch. You've got to get some pressure on Baker Mayfield, or guys like that become good players.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's a compounding effect. Negatively, they're playing complementary football the worst way you can. No pass rush, horse-pucky coverage. That's going to lead to guys that didn't have any NFL catches. They've had guys this year with no NFL catches on the stat sheet have career games. They've had guys that, you know, are just basically the last receiver active for the game, don't really have a big role because of injury, their role increases, have big games. But if you're not rushing the passer and you're having assignment error on the back end and technique problems on the back end, I mean, they can pull guys off the street and line up and beat the Bengals. I mean, it is unbelievably gruesome to watch at this stage. It really is.
One of the reasons why Baker Mayfield was so effective was the absence of Will Jackson. He's played great at corner this year. Pro Football Focus has him as the 18th highest rated cornerback in the NFL. They dearly missed him when Baker Mayfield was carving people up.
I remember Dan when we did our Friday show, talking about Joe Mixon's a huge blow, but you have a true professional in Giovanni Bernard and other running backs that might be able to kind of lessen that load, and that Jackson's probably a bigger loss. As the game unfolded, that's exactly how it played out. Not having Will Jackson as a guy that could run with the best receiver or cover his half of the football field, the ripple effect of that, the trickle-down effect of that was enormous, enormous. And guys were out there, you know, doing the best they could, but not good enough to make the plays that Will Jackson would have made during the course of this football game. And you got a quarterback that goes 22 out of 23 with five touchdown passes in the final three quarters of the game. Tell me, having number 22 out there to line up at corner on the wide side of the field wouldn't have been helpful. Absolutely would have.
And the other sad thing is, this would have been quite a feel-good story for the offensive line, the much-maligned offensive line. Jonah Williams exits in the first half with a neck injury. Trey Hopkins exits in the first half with a concussion. Billy Price plays the entire second half at center. Fred Johnson plays the entire second half at tackle. With three plays to go, Bobby Hart apparently hurt his knee. Hakeem Adeniji is thrown in there, the rookie out of Kansas. And those three guys are on the field when they score the go-ahead touchdown with 106 to go.
I'm telling you, in the second half, the shuffle-me offensive line, eight offensive linemen were active for the football game. All eight saw snaps, not as the extra linemen in a, you know, big tight end formation. I'm talking about snaps, like you said, in the offensive schematic at tackle or center. Everybody had to step up and make plays, you know, in the football game. And it is sad. It's sad to see they overcame it. I mean, the entire second half, you know, Billy Price and Fred were, you know, they're going. They have no option. So it's sad when you a performance like that is wasted. I thought that Zach had probably the best game plan and the best play calling execution of that game plan in terms of play caller he had all season long. They still couldn't run the ball, but he went to the screen game as an extension of the running game. It's like a long lateral out there. It's like a long pitch, and he screened every way you can screen. I mean, you know, he had more screens today than AE Door has in their warehouse, screen doors. I mean, he went to running backs. He went to wide receivers. He went to tight ends. He went to our gadget gimmick. Tyler Boyd throws a screen to Giovanni Bernard. He screened every way you can screen. And those are literally, you know, like a wide run in the running game. So I thought that he was very, very creative with his game plan and very, very creative with his play calling. And unfortunately, this is the most non-complimentary or uncomplimentary football team in the National Football League now. When the offense plays well, the defense sucks. When the defense plays well, the offense sucks. When the run defense plays well, the pass defense sucks. When the Bengals can't run the football, the passing game is good. I mean, it's like, you know, what am I going to have this week? Which phase is going to show up for me this week? Position groups. Defensive line plays well, secondary doesn't. Defensive line doesn't play well, secondary plays better. I mean, and then when they both don't play well, you get smoked like Baker Mayfield smoked you. So it's a very frustrating football team to watch. And they, again, like I said before, continue to find ways to lose football games.
All right, last thing. I hate to second guess a play on fourth down that gives you the lead with 66 seconds to go. But as badly as the defense was struggling, should they have tried to run on fourth and inches to keep that clock winding down? You can't second guess it, but, well, that's what you are doing. That's what I am doing. I'm second guessing it because it didn't work.
I know. But we were talking about it first guessing, you know, really during the course of the game. And it was, you know, unfolding as, oh, man, two hot quarterbacks, two first pick of the drafts that are living up to expectations, that are hot as a firecracker, that are both doing unbelievable things, leading their football team. The one that has the football last, no fault to the other, is probably going to win the football game. And that's the way it worked out. Like you said, Dan, hindsight's 20/20. But, you know, we're hopeful that you go on that, 3-minute and 50-some-odd second drive and take every single 353 seconds or whatever, take every single one of them off the clock and score. And we said it during the course of the game, so it wasn't second guess. It was first guess. And it just didn't unfold that way. But I'll tell you, a hell of an offensive performance wasted, and there have been good defensive performances wasted. And like I said, it's the most bizarre, uncomplimentary, non-complimentary season to date that I've seen in the National Football League by the Bengals. It's unbelievable to watch unfold on a weekly basis. It really is. You know, you think, what next? It's amazing.
Now, as promised, I am going to put a smile on your face with the help of Bengals wide receiver Mike Thomas. It's an all-time classic edition of Fantastic Fun Facts where you get to know the person under the pads. Time for some fun facts with wide receiver Mike Thomas from the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. More specifically, the south side of Chicago. Mike, tell us a little bit about growing up in Chicago and what you like to do as a kid.
Growing up in Chicago, south side, I pretty much like to hang around friends, be outside just hanging out, having fun, doing what kids do, pretty much. It was cool. It was always cold, winters, four seasons. So when it was cold outside, in the house, cancel school, just trying to stay bundled up, cozy weather. So it was cool, you know what I'm saying, just growing up in the Windy City.
Do you see yourself winding up back in Chicago someday?
Yeah, just because I have most of my family back there. So, yeah, I do find myself back there, you know, plan on being back there often.
We're visiting with Mike Thomas. Speaking of family, your Instagram page includes several tributes to your mom. What do you appreciate and respect about her?
The most I appreciate is that she was a single parent and that she got the job done no matter what. Whenever it came to us, I have an older brother. She made sure that we was on top of everything and made sure that we were straight as far as dealing with school, financial-wise, just making sure that we didn't need for anything. So that's what I mostly appreciate about my mom. She made it happen regardless of the situation, and she's still going to make it happen. She still tells me to this day, Mike, I don't care. I care about your mental. I care about your health. So she's going to be with me when through it all.
You attended DuSable High School, alma mater of Nat King Cole and Red Fox for older folks, but it's not exactly a football powerhouse, is it?
Nah, not at all. Pretty much a basketball school. A lot of guys that hooped out of Chicago went there or played against DuSable. Like Anthony Davis once was one of the guys that played against our high school, and I actually seen him play against us and didn't know he was going to grow that tall. And now you see where he at now. So it's basically Chicago's just a basketball city, just a powerhouse on basketball. So, yeah, that was kind of like tough trying to make it out of there playing football.
You told reporters recently that you would not be playing football if not for former Bengals wide receiver Chad Johnson, who was Chad Ochocinco when you were a kid. How did Chad inspire you?
Honestly, it started with the Hard Knocks. The fact that he was making people look bad at corner, and the fact that he was like bringing comedy out of it, like making people laugh and too. And I was like, yo, whoever that is, I'm finna try to impersonate him to the T from top to bottom. And that's how it all started, man. Just watching him on Hard Knocks and wearing 85. And that just inspired me to play this game, period. Just watching him TO. I mean, it was a couple more guys, but he was the main person that I wanted to be like, rocking 85, calling my name Ochocinco, just trying to impersonate him, his footwork, all his YouTube videos, workouts. It's just so much I can just go on and on about, but he was the main guy as far as character playing football.
Did you actually call yourself Mike Ochocinco?
Yes, I did. I had my name on there as Mike Ochocinco 85 on Facebook. I was just 85 crazy back then. Like, I just thought I was him.
Describe the time you approached Chad and told him what he meant to you.
Yeah, I think this was pregame Cleveland last year, the Rams versus Cleveland. And I think Chad had the cameras around him following. I think he was doing like a special that week. And I just basically, I'm like, I was just looking at him like, yo, I gotta go say something. Like, I'm just thinking in my head, like, how I'm about to approach him. Like, all right, I don't know. I'm finna just tell him how I feel at this point. So I just went up to him and told him basically like, man, I just want to thank you for, you know, inspiring a kid from Chicago to even play this game today, man. You don't even know what you have done for me, but I just want to say thank you. I didn't really give him too much of a rundown. I just kept it short and simple and just told him, thank you, man. I appreciate you for inspiring me to even play this game today.
We're doing Fun Facts with Mike Thomas. You left Chicago to play for Dodge City Community College in Dodge City, Kansas. Population 27,000. Was it tough to adjust to growing up in Chicago?
Yes. Honestly, I'm going to keep it real. The whole slogan when they say, get out of Dodge, that's when I knew exactly what that mean. Like, it was nothing there. Like, tumbleweed tumbling, everything. It was just dry weather, open space, cornfields, crops, everything, just a whole bunch of nothing, man. It just that just helped me stay focused, honestly, and get the job done and my whole goal of why I was there. So I just had to stay locked in and focus and get the job done.
And now I know the origin of get out of Dodge.
Get out of Dodge, man. It was crazy.
From there, it was on to Southern Miss, where your career really took off. You set the all-time record for receiving yards in a season there. When did you start to think that you might have an NFL future?
That's a good question, because honestly, I never had my mind on just playing league ball. Like, I never just had, I just like playing, just the passion in me, just like playing football. I played basketball too, but my whole mind was just playing football and just hopefully some coming out of it. I never had in my mind that I was going to go to the NFL, but I'm not going to lie. I would say after that Washington game, that bowl game when we played Washington, and I had like damn near close to 200 yards, two touchdowns, about 10 plus catches. I knew like, oh, and this is a powerhouse defense team too. And that's when I knew like, oh, I might have a real chance at really going to, you know, the league and making it happen. And that's when I knew like I might have a good shot. Then that's when agents was blowing my phone up, and that's when it happened after that.
We're chatting with Mike Thomas. You got drafted by the Rams in 2016. Former head coach Jeff Fisher was the guy that made the phone call. Can you describe what that moment meant?
I remember like it was yesterday. My fam was right there. Mom was right there. Dad. And honestly, before he called me, it was a lot of teams calling me saying, hey, if we don't draft you, we're going to pick you up, this and that. I mean, who want to hear that? Like, I wasn't trying to hear that. I'm trying to see if y'all going to draft me or not. But long story short, Jeff Fisher called me right after and said, hey, man, we're going to pick you up. And I was just on the phone, and my fam like kind of knew what was up, and they were just going crazy. So after that, the phone, I couldn't even hear what he was saying. And I didn't even realize it, but my cousin had on a Los Angeles Rams jacket. And I didn't even realize that, wow, like you really spoke this into existence, went this to the party, draft party and everything. It was just crazy. Like, it didn't even hit me yet. Like, fam was still going crazy. It was just so unreal. Like, damn, I thought I wasn't going to get drafted, honestly. It was frustrating at the same time, but it was kind of like cool to actually hear your name get called and see your name go on the screen and all that.
You spent 4 years in LA, including the 2018 Super Bowl season, but unfortunately that year you got injured in week one. It was a groin injury that required 3 surgeries. What happened?
Something didn't happen right in the first surgery, and I had to go back to St. Louis, and I guess they didn't fix that. So that's when I had to get the second opinion with my agent, and that's when we went to Philly and got the second opinion and got everything together. But that was just a long, frustrating season, just knowing I was supposed to have been back week 6 earlier than that. And it was just constant, you know, barriers in the way of me not even coming back. So I just wanted to be healthy at that point and fix the problem.
We're doing Fun Facts with Mike Thomas. You joined the Bengals this year and made your first touchdown catch in week 2 on Thursday Night Football versus Cleveland. Was that a huge moment for you to get that first TD in primetime?
Yeah, that was real huge, because I felt like it was long overdue. Like I said, I mean, I've been in rooms with guys that I felt like I wasn't even supposed to be in, just competing with guys that have a huge household name for themselves. And I felt like if I can compete with them, man, I know I'm doing something right. I know I'm displaying some type of talent out here, man. When is my time going to come, man? And it came. And I just felt good. Like, man, I finally been in the league damn near 5 years and got my first touchdown. I know that's kind of like, what was you doing your whole 4 years? Yeah, but, you know, you just go through things, man, and you just got to stay the course and stay positive and just know things going to work out for you. So that was a milestone for sure.
All right, a few wild card questions to wrap things up with Mike Thomas. What do you like to spend your money on?
I'm a huge, huge sneakerhead, man. Just growing up in Chicago, Jordans was the fashion statement back then, man. I made sure, well, my mom kind of made sure I had some of them. I ain't had all of them, but the ones that I did want it, I had. But now I had to get them all, man. So I'm a big, big sneakerhead, man. I love sneakers.
How big is the collection?
I had to get another closet, man. I had to use the guest room closet for one of my shoes, half of them. So it's getting big. It's getting bigger.
Mike, is it true that you like to play brain games on your phone?
I do. Lumosity. It's called Lumosity's brain app. Just like to work on things every day. Like, as I think about it, like when I was going to school, sometimes I feel like I wasn't paying attention enough to what I supposed to. You know, you got classmates distracting you, playing and all that. So sometimes I like to, you know, go back to the app and, you know, do little mathematic games, reading games. It's all type of stuff you can, you know, work on your brain. You just, it's just a fun game just to, you know, that you're working on something. You ain't just playing just for fun.
I'm going to pass that along to my 14-year-old kid. Trust me.
Hey, it's going to work out.
When you go home to Chicago, what local delicacy must you have?
That's a good question, because I usually go back to the pizza, man. I'm not usually a delicacy guy. I usually do the pizza. I love Giordano's. Yeah, deep dish. You got to get the deep dish Giordano's pizza, man. That's like the number one thing I have to get when I go back home. And that's every time.
All right. Final fun fact for Mike Thomas. Obviously, you are not the only wide receiver named Mike Thomas in the NFL. Michael Thomas from the Saints was part of the same draft class. Do you ever get mail meant for him? Autograph requests, proposals, etc.?
Nah. Mm-mm. I feel like they kind of know. Like, there's a difference, man. I feel like we have two different backgrounds. We come from two different places. So, nah, they don't get me confused with him at all. I mean, you might do it as far as like fantasy drafts, yeah, but I see Twitter comments about that, but nothing as far as like fan mail or signatures and nothing like that.
I was hoping you were going to tell me you occasionally got his paycheck by mistake.
I wish. Yeah, send it to me. I act like him for a day.
Mike, this has been great. You're off the hot seat. Appreciate the time. Best of luck the rest of the year.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it.
My thanks to the charismatic Mike Thomas, and here's a quick reminder to join Lapp and Lance McAllister for Bengals Line Monday night from 6 to 9 on 700 WLW. Then on Wednesday night, I'll join Lapp for the Bengals Game Plan Show from 6 to 8 on ESPN 1530. That's going to do it for this episode of the Bengals Booth Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. Refresh the game. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe. And if you have a minute, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more Bengals fans find this podcast. I'm Dan Horde, and thanks so much for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.